you believe it? Episode 134 of Draped in Gold is in your face. Thank you so much for joining us here on this Wednesday morning as we break down NXT action, the white and gold brand, short, whatever. My name is Lobo Boyce, and I'll be in the catbird seat, but as always, I'm not alone. I'm being joined by someone so superior, he recaps the same show twice. Give it up for the real Jack Farmer.
I think that makes you a hack when you do the same thing multiple times and hope for different.
It actually does. Please welcome Hack Farmer.
So thank you. I am just like Sandman in WCW. I am Hack.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's a deep cut. You know, I would say this.
Hardcore Hack specifically.
That is true. I actually enjoyed Hack on WCW. Like, there's not a lot of WCW iterations I preferred, but I liked Hack because it was like, yep, this is the hardcore thing you think I am.
It is one of those eras where, again, we talk about too many titles or whatever all the time, but WCW is very clear about, they had a ton of titles, but there's very clear, like, this is your hardcore group, this is your cruiserweight group, this is your TV title group, your US title group, your world title group, and Hack was the guy that fit right into that hardcore group. I was a fan. I enjoyed it.
This is your group, but then like Lance Storm wins it all.
Right? Well, because he's the greatest of all time.
Maybe debatable. But if WWE Shop releases the Saskatchewan Hardcore International title just once, I'll be so happy. I would buy that title, say it hands down.
Right. They would sell two of them because we'd both be wearing them right now.
Yes, Sam. I want to give a shout out to everyone watching live on Facebook, on Twitter, on X, LinkedIn, and Trovo. Your comments, questions in below would help us out with the show. But let's get right into it. Now, before I talk about matches and contract signings, we have breaking news inside the world. No, actually, let me do the other breaking news. Breaking news outside the world of NXT. It was a huge week, Jack. We had like the Netflix deal. We got The Rock on TKO. I mean, it's been a solid time to be a wrestling fan.
Yeah, this was, it feels like we say this every month now. This was one of the biggest news weeks in you could ever imagine. But this one, I think, lives up to that in a lot of ways. The Netflix deal, I say, is really this shoe that I feel like we all felt was going to drop at some point, wrestling moving to streaming services and everything moving to streaming services. But with wrestling, it always felt like, when are they going to make that move? And now we know it's going to be January 2025. And I got a feeling this is going to be good for everybody involved. I think that this is just how people watch TV. People don't watch regular TV anymore, as you know. I feel weird having to go to Sling to watch Raw every Monday. It's a weird, people just don't do it anymore. And
Sling,
so I think it's,
Sling knows it too. They actually have a wrestling marketing, like targeted ad thing. It's pretty real.
Yeah. And so I think that this is something that is going to where people actually consume their product. It's going to be great for WWE. It's going to be easier for fans to watch it and to watch it later if they miss it or in things like that. This is how people consume media, so it's great for them. And I think it's also going to put them in front of way more people. I believe WrestleNomics had the numbers up, and WrestleNomics is pretty good, but I believe it was like the biggest channel you could be on right now had like 70 million potential viewers, where Netflix has like 76 million. Don't quote me on those numbers, but it was something like that, where Netflix is basically a bigger, more eyeballs than any other broadcast option available. So really good for them. And The Rock gets his name back, which is something that's pretty cool. Cody Rhodes, another thing Cody Rhodes kind of spearheaded is getting your name back. So good for The Rock on that. And I think what shows just how powerful The Rock is he got put in a board member seat and all this stuff, but he's getting paid to have the board member seat and he's getting his name back. And usually, Flobo, as you know, in business, if you want to be a board member, you got to buy your way in. You got to buy shares. Mm-hmm. You got to take something. You got to make it worth their while, but they're paying him to join. I think that shows just how big of a deal The Rock is for TKO.
Total conflict of interest, but I can't wait for the UFL to be part of TKO Holdings myself. But that's still the time for the day. I have more news, but we'll talk about that later on because you'll see why it makes sense. But biggest news inside NXT this week is that we have a new general manager. And I'll tell you one thing, Jack. It's Ava, not Ava Rain. It's Ava. I was a little confused. because she came out of Shawn Michaels' office and there was no Shawn Michaels, I thought he was like tied up or something. but no, it's official. William Regal comes out, says, take care of it. We have the youngest general manager in history in WWE.
I thought this was executed really well because for a long time, we've wanted Ava to be, what's up, Keenan? Wanted a lot of us have been basically treating her as the GM, but it was always weird. Like, why is she hanging out outside Shawn Michaels' office? Why is she in this position? She's not the general manager, but in the back of our heads, we were always like, we want William Regal to be the general manager. Bring him.
Games.
We want to see him do it. Why isn't he the general manager? And the fact that William Regal gave Ava his blessing and basically made us as viewers say, okay, yes, Ava is the person to be the general manager, the youngest general manager in the history of WWE, by the way, which is a huge deal as well.
Huge.
I think it's just very smart, and I think William Regal deserves a lot of credit for his ability to make this a good situation. Though, Flobo, got a feeling all the smiles and handshakes from William Regal won't last much longer.
Yeah, as Mr. Williams says, war games. So let's talk about the first time we saw Ava. It's still kind of weird without having a last name on display, which is also cool because Tiffany had only one name when she was general manager of ECW. Our contract signing this evening, it was Roxanne Perez. It was Lyra Valkyria. Both women are pretty solid, pretty talented, but though each woman needing one more win to really solidify a legacy. It looked respectful, but then there was a whole thing at the end that I have questions about. Jack Farmer, here's the main two questions I have. One, Tatum Paxley, is she unhinged? And two, how did our general manager quit herself?
So I enjoyed watching this unfold a lot. I thought this was a really fun thing to see. At first, I was very bored. I'm going to be honest. I started and I was like, these two are friends.
Contract signings are peak wrestling entertainment, sir.
Come on. Like, they were like, I respect you. I respect you. You know, and I don't like respect in pro wrestling. I want to see some fight. I want to see some anger.
Like,
and so I like to see how things started getting heated. And in entertainment, you know, they always say that it's the reversal of fortunes. It's the zigging and zagging. These are the things that create drama. These are the things that create fun and excitement. And watching as at first seeing Roxanne Perez show me a little something that I haven't seen from her before. And that was that killer instinct, that fight, that anger where she was like, it's great when everyone loves you. But then what happens when you're the, you know, last week's special? What happens when they're not with you anymore? And showing us that, yeah, she's a little bitter. She's a little upset. And she should be, by the way. Miss never lost the title in the first place.
I agreed
with her. But then what made it great? Tatum Paxley getting the coded message from Lyra Valkyria.
Coded message?
Hints.
What hints?
Getting all the deciphering this, sorry, and understanding exactly what she needs to do, getting the jump on Roxanne Perez. I thought Roxanne Perez was going to be the vicious one. No, it was Lyra Valkyria who has her pit bull attack Roxanne Perez and then so cleverly plays it like, what? You're here? Crazy.
That's not
Lyra Valkyria. I'm so proud of you.
Nobody
I didn't know
like
you had it in you. I thought that Roxanne Perez was coming in hot. No, Lyra Valkyria, she's the one with the game plan. She's the one that I think you got to be careful of once the chessboard gets all the pieces on it.
Hold on. So you think this is a hit job? You think that Lyra Valkyria was like, look, I'm going to go on there and try to be straight and narrow. You come from behind and under a table.
I mean, is that not exactly what was said? Is that not exactly what happened, Flobo? Is that, I mean, she back at the locker rooms, clearly Lyra Valkyria talking to Tatum Paxley, she gave her the message. She said, are we on the same page? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And Tatum Paxley said, yeah, we're on the same page. We saw it, Flobo. This was a game plan that was executed perfectly. I think even Bill Belichick would say, wow, how'd you draw that one up?
Now, that'd be cool, GM of NXT, Bill Belichick. Sitting there like, Everyone in the parking lot's getting destroyed.
With his cutoff sleeve.
In Orlando, just. I don't know. That's a joke for the old set. Okay. Right. So our women's division is kind of upending right now. And it looks like Ava was kind of passive throughout the whole thing. Tatum Paxton is kind of weird. But I have to say this, though. It looks like Lyra Vaquero may have a big challenge with the Prodigy. She looks like, despite the fact she went through a table this week, the one to walk out the champ at Vengeance Day.
I mean, you can never count out Roxanne Perez. Look at her win-loss record. Look at how talented she is. I mean, I feel like at this point, the only thing that bothers me about a Roxanne Perez is we keep implying she's the future as if she's not already the present. She's here. She's now. We're not waiting for Roxanne Perez. She's here. She's not next year's star. She's this year's star.
No, nope, so I disagree. Until she pop rocks Rhea Ripley, I say never. But
you can't compare people who aren't going to have the opportunity to go against each other. That's not fair.
That's what future means. She can do it, but she doesn't now.
Saying, I don't trust Rhea Ripley until she faces Io Sky.
And she did. And now we trust her.
Ah, that was NXT.
That's why she's the future, Jack. No,
Beat Io Sky, we were still saying Rhea Ripley may be the future. Now she's at the mountaintop. Like, I can't judge Rhea Ripley for not facing Kairi Sane.
I'm not saying Roxanne Perez is bad or booty cheeks. I'm saying that she is the future because she hasn't had a challenge on par with a Rhea Ripley.
She's dominated her brand. That's the best she can do. If you're not in the brand, I mean, you can't compare people who aren't on the same brand. It's the same reason why I don't compare what Roxanne Perez does to people on other wrestling companies. It's unfair. It's something you can't do.
Oh, but she didn't beat Tiffany Stratton. And Tiffany Stratton was a farmhand last time I saw her. Ranch hand or whatever.
How dare you imply that Dirty Ranch was a farm
blow. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend your people. I apologize. I'll release a statement after the show.
Disgusting.
I don't know what came over me.
Us farmers have dignity and class, okay?
Well, speaking of dignity or lack thereof, your other friend from the... Yeah, what's it called again? I forget what it's called. Not the dyad, the whatever. Joe Gacy.
No quarter catch crew. Oh
no! Schism. That's it. Schism. Okay. Joe Gacy didn't even have a match this week because it was a no contest. Attacking Dijak, one of my favorite entrances in all of NXT, from behind like a chump, and that's why we didn't get to have the bell ring. What's going on, to boy Joe, going after Dijak like that?
Joe Gacy is finally using the power of crazy for good. I love this Joe Gacy. I love that he's done hiding out in the trunk of cars and dancing around on rooftops and things. That was nonsense, Flobo. But now he's using all that pent up madness to dish out some punishment. Unpredictable is exciting. Unpredictable is entertaining. And there's no one that's less predictable than Joe Gacy right now. Did you see the look in his eyes, Flobo? It was terrifying.
It absolutely was. But what's his deal? What does he want? I know Dijak and them don't get along. They're probably going to have another opportunity in the ring with a sanctioned match for a change. But it seems like Joe Gacy's kind of zigging and zagging all over the locker room.
I don't even know if you would call it zigging and zagging. I think he is just on random right now, Flobo. He is a random playlist.
Yeah.
And this week it was playing beatdown music. And Dijak, the fact that he got into a brawl with Dijak.
Hello, what's beatdown music? Samoa Joe's theme song? Because that definitely sounds like beatdown music.
Look, Samoa Joe's, wherever he's been, it's beatdown music.
I rescind my question. Go ahead.
But this is great. This is fun and entertaining. And I think that he's always been so worried about being a leader, being the voice for the people who need guidance out there. And now something snapped in him. Something's broken. And I don't know if I want him to fix it. I just want him to go crazy and beat down more people. Look, taking out Dijak the way he did is a rare feat. And so I think Joe Gacy, if he's able to keep doing this, might be dangerous in NXT, especially if his old pal Ava is able to put him on a course towards a championship.
Well, that's what I'm asking for, because we've seen unhinged characters in wrestling before. I guess maybe there's just something in catering, or maybe they have the old sushi or whatever. But I feel like there's a window for most people where we want to know what they're about. And if you don't get it, we kind of just jump off the bus. I have problems with that personally on Friday Night SmackDown with the Final Testament. But I think Joe Gacy has a manifesto in his back pocket, but he hasn't shared it yet. So I ask you this. How long can Joe be this way without letting us in on what's his deal?
I think you're approaching Joe Gacy all wrong.
Probably.
That's the thing. You say he's got a manifesto in his back pocket. I don't think he has a back pocket. I don't think he has. I don't think he has anything. I think it's just random gibberish, Flobo. It's like if there was a manifesto, it's like someone went and cut out each of the letters like a ransom note, threw it into the air, and that's what he's got right now. I don't think any of the dots connect in old Joe Gacy's noggin, and that's what makes him interesting. And there's been a lot of folks who have been a little unhinged in the head that have done just fine. In fact, one of them entered the Royal Rumble 3 times. Speaking of the Royal Rumble coming up, I think being a little kooky can be very good for somebody.
I don't. If Joe Gacy was on trial and they said maybe he's insane, I would say, Your Honor, he went after a man of sizable physical attributes and diet jack, but was also on a losing streak. That to me sounds calculated AF. Premeditated AF. Throw him away. It's not insanity.
He hasn't meditated pre, post, or anything in between, Globo.
Let's talk about somebody who has a plan that someone else needs more details on. Lexus King, the quote, face of Tuesday nights. Okay. Had a match against Trey Bearhill, and to be fair, he drew out Trey Bearhill because Bearhill was fired up, but it was unfocused, and it was all set and done. It was a man who says, I'm no junior, Lexus King, getting the dub.
I'm loving Lexus King right now. He's facing Tuesday nights. You say, okay. I say, okay. I'm liking this. I mean, first off, the way that facial
you said what?
Lined up, looking good. And by the way, I love it. First, he gets a very big win over a very big opponent. I mean, how cool is that? Hey, I'm going to cost you your spot in the breakout tournament. And then when you try to do something about it, I'm going to beat you again. Proving that Lexus King should have been in the tournament to begin with anyhow.
Fair enough.
But what I like about this, obviously, is later in the night. I don't want to jump ahead.
No, jump ahead.
I like that. Look, Lexus King wooing everyone in the locker room over at NXT.
What show are you watching?
There's some stuff bubbling
between,
we got Valentine's Day coming up. I know Vengeance Day is what we're looking forward to. Valentine's Day kind of, I'm seeing a little baby cherub with some heart-shaped arrow tips shooting at some people backstage. And I think Lexus King is the reason.
Who? Because no one seems to be impressed at Lexus King and his authorialness backstage at all.
He's not a lothario. He's just natural. This is who he is. So obviously we see backstage, we see in the hallway, Thea Hale. We see JC Jane.
Right.
We see Riley Osborne.
They're all disgusted.
All of them. I think this is my thing. I would say much ado about nothing. It's a little Shakespearean here. You can almost see these four pairing up perfectly. You could see Thea Hale, this positive, happy person, innocent person, and Riley Osborne, this clean cut, innocent, nice guy, and then JC Jane with this sort of jaded past, and Lexus King, this sort of sneaky ne'er-do-well. You could see JC Jane and Lexus King together, no problem. You could see Thea Hale and Riley Osborne together, no problem. But Flobo, that's not the way this is going to break down. I think Thea Hale is going to find herself in the warm embrace of Lexus King.
Part of my professional response, but gag me with a spoon. That's not going to happen. Ew. That's just the worst idea. What?
But the first domino to fall, though, is going to be old JC Jane saying, you know what, Thea Hale? If you're not going to listen to me on how to get the attention of a fella, I'm going to show you how to do it. And she's going to get Riley Osborne. This whole thing's not going to work out, Flobo. It's going to be a mess, and it's going to be a young and the restless, beautiful story to see.
I would pay you $10. This is the witness. I would pay you $10 if JC Jane utters the word, let me show you how to get a fella. I will pay you cash. I will go to your house. Well, she said it. Are you kidding me?
with her hands on her hips.
Come on, Theo.
And with her hands on her hips, I mean like fists on the hips, not like
like
a Superman. Like, I'll show you how to get a fella.
No, it's awful. Toxic. Let's talk about someone who is having also a bad day as well. We saw the re-debut, I guess, of Ren Sinclair in our first ever one-on-one matchup against Metaphor's Last Legend. Side note, hey, Jakara Jackson, see that the cast is off the arm. Congratulations, you're back 100%. Seems that way. Last Legend, powerhouse, showed in spades. Ren Sinclair, even with the help of Fallon Henley, may have a bright future on a white and gold brand, but it was all slam dunk. Lash just totally destroyed Miss Sinclair, and it was one to watch. I would say one of her more complete performances.
I'm going to remind everyone, I said it a few weeks ago, Lash Legend is going to be the 2024 breakout star of the year for the women's division in NXT. I believe that in a year's time, we're going to be looking back the same way we look at like a Trick Williams, where we're like, wow, she really burst onto the scene. I think this is going to be Lash Legend's year. And I want to talk about something that I think is really, really important, Lobo. And I want to talk about Ren Sinclair. And Ren Sinclair, I think, potentially has a bright future. I think Ren Sinclair is someone who has, obviously, people who have followed wrestling outside of WWE know who Ren Sinclair is, knows that she's very talented. I think the fact that she was being honest and vulnerable kind of worries me. And the reason it worries me is because sometimes the wrong people hear it. And I think that in this case, the wrong person did. Fallon Henley clearly trying to manipulate and trick Ren Sinclair into being a ranch hand, the way she tricked Tiffany Stratton into being a ranch hand.
She didn't.
Clearly on display here. And if Ren Sinclair isn't careful, she's going to be cleaning up horse muck on some dirty ranch because Fallon Henley got into her head before she was able to get going.
I don't think anyone goes to their second job to recruit people to go to their first job to be a ranch hand. And second of all, Ren Sinclair is brand new. She needs a friend. Fallon just helping her out. Someone helped her out a year ago.
You sound like someone who's trying to get someone to work on your ranch. This is exactly what these ranchers do, Flobo. They act like, look, you know, you need help. I'll be there for you. I'll be by your side for a little bit. By the way, you know, there's a lot of work that needs to be done on the ranch. I wish I had someone to help me.
Oh, come on, Jack. Look.
She's gaslighting her into working on a ranch, Flobo.
She can't work on a ranch. She's wearing denim, first of all, and it's like half of her body. And second of all, she doesn't want to. She wants to fight. Look, you and I both know the NXT parking lot's one of the most dangerous things in all of sports entertainment. Don't you need an ally? Don't you need someone to look out for you when you walk outside at the end of a day?
Only one thing more dangerous than that parking lot, Flobo. It's a ranch.
I closed that.
I couldn't hold it together.
I topa suicided right into that one. I apologize. I just whatever. Okay, that was a good match.
So I'm saying, Ren Sinclair, you could be a huge star, a wrestling star, but if you make the wrong friends, similar to how if you make certain friends, you may find yourself in the mud. You may find yourself in a family if you start associating with certain people. If you associate with the wrong people, Ren Sinclair, you'll find yourself on a dirty, no good ranch, cleaning up horse muck. Just ask Tiffany Stratton.
We haven't seen her since. Is she okay?
She's probably still cleaning muck out from underneath her nails.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of gross. Damn, Fallon, you are a bad person. Not the nails, no. Let's talk about other broken alliances, because it looks like Lola Vice and La Madrina Electra Lopez are not going to be friends for a while. Looks like everyone's obsessed with talking about Lola Vice Instagram all of a sudden, but that's the side part. Looks like on Supernova Sessions, live from the moon, Lola Vice told the world it was all part of her plan, but Electra Lopez wasn't having it. Now, Jack, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I actually agree with you. It did look like Electra Lopez was hanging on to Lola Vice. It did look like she wanted to parlay that contract into a tag team opportunity, and Lola saw right through it. But why is Lola the bad girl here?
First, I just want to say that the moon looks incredibly similar to the NXT performance.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the virtual reality thing is top notch.
It's incredible. And the feed from the moon, really good. I mean, the technology that Noam Dar has, but
the bill must be through the roof.
Absolutely. The thing that I pulled from this, I'm going to be honest here. I gotta cut through it all. I was blown away by Electra Lopez here.
Really?
I thought Lola Vice was great. I thought Noam Dar was great. I thought everything about this was great, but the thing that stood out to me watching this is that we've always known that Electra Lopez can speak on a microphone, but this right. to me was probably her best outing on a microphone that I've ever seen. I mean, she was clear. She made great points. She had entertaining word choices. She timed it perfectly so she could get that attack on Lola Vice. I'm going to burn Vice City to the ground. This was such a good promo from Electra Lopez. I absolutely feel like this was her statement piece to saying she's someone who should be a featured person on the women's roster in NXT. I think we're going to see a lot more of her going forward, and we should. This was a star-making performance, in my opinion, for Electra Lopez.
I'm with you 100% there. You could tell the conditioning has improved as well. I still haven't had an answer as why is her theme song involving an elevator ding, but that's besides the point. She came out here, said she wanted to do. I believed her. I'll be there backstage. It did look like she's ready to fight. New chapter for La Madrina, but it does seem she picks the wrong friends. So Lola Vice and her have a stare down and a dust up, whereas Metaphor runs scurry away like the losers and cowards they are. This match is going to be set up for next week. Lola Vice, Electra Lopez, who do you got?
I got to go Lola Vice. And I pick Lola Vice because, first, she's on a roll. She just won the breakout tournament. She's got a championship opportunity down the line. She's got all the momentum in the world, but also, you know me, Flobo, I like when people don't take it personal. I like it when they keep business as business. Lola Vice feels like she's keeping this business as business. As much as I like Electra Lopez, I like the way she handled herself on the microphone. Clearly, she's in her head. Clearly, she's taking things personally, and I think that's where you make mistakes.
I'm with you. I think she gets it up. Just for a note for me, as if you watch NXT UK, one of the disappointing things about this segment is that I kind of missed the Supernova Sessions folding chair for the guests. That was like the best part. I wish they did that again, but that's besides thing. But
I would love if they did. I agree with you. The Supernova Sessions at the NXT UK was fantastic. The whole setup, whether it be like the fruit baskets and things he would give people, or depending on how much he liked them, you could see how he set them up, was always great. I think that Noam Dar is smart, though. You'll notice ever since that Heritage Cup was stolen, now he's got it under protective glass with chains holding it in place.
It wasn't stolen, so I don't know what you're talking about.
People steal things all the time from
they do, him. but not the Heritage Cup. It wasn't stolen.
Stolen from him multiple times.
He lost.
Yeah, not going to happen again.
And it's locked into place.
No one's stealing it now.
I noticed the crowd chanted "You're a phony" during this segment. I thought they meant Noam Dar, but they didn't. So I was kind of disappointed. But let's talk about, before we get to the match that has fallen out, let's talk about this whole OTM family war. I mean, OTM walking up into an Italian restaurant establishment, causing a bunch of mess, knocking out Rizzo, making her a liability. You have to have thought there was going to be a receipt for that. What the heck were they thinking? And it paid off later on that night.
Well, I do agree. I definitely agree that they had to know a receipt was coming. I just didn't think they knew it was coming as quickly as it was. What I loved about OTM here is they were the first group that really took the fight to the family. They're the first group that really said, look, we're not going to just wait for you to get to the arena and have a match with you. We're going to go to your business, to your restaurant where you've invited us before. We know right where you are. And we're just going to beat you up there. I love the aggression there. I love how they handle themselves. Of course, it cost them later. Specifically, it cost Scripps later. Yeah. And so I think Scripps took two L's at this event. One, because he took the loss to Dragon Lee. But two, because yet again, with someone else given the orders in OTM, they were successful in their attack on the family, where Scripps never seemed to be when he was calling the shots.
Ooh, I like it. Shout out to Mike Wexler, who says, draped in gold on my birthday? Hell yeah. The legendary Jack Farmer and the iconic boss, Manflo, beat them. No problem, balls.
Happy birthday, Mike Wexler.
So let's talk about this match here. Scripps against Dragon Lee. A lot of threads will be pulling. Scripps probably should have had his head in the swivel. Didn't. And Jada Parker, which somehow makes him seem more legit. So I guess you're right here. Was ringside with OTM. Oba Femi was watching this matchup from over the balcony because he didn't refuse. He refused the open challenge to Dragon Lee and was looking for an opponent as well. A lot of moving parts in this one. Dragon Lee gets the win, but it seems that everything was breaking down at the CWC.
Yeah, I think that, as we said, OTM, they got payback. They weren't ready for that. That's where they failed. Again, it was on Scripps' watch, though. So I blame this on Scripps that this didn't go well. Dragon Lee, he got a lucky win here because of all this stuff that happened. And when I say lucky, not even a shot at Dragon Lee, but just when there's crazy situations going on the outside, anything could happen. And frankly, if OTM had hit Scripps, Scripps would have won the match. So in a lot of ways, Dragon Lee got lucky here.
True.
Of course, Oba Femi. Oba Femi is just, every time he's on screen, I think ups his value, ups his stock. I want to call him a farmer's market pick, but I feel like he's already launched. Like he launched before anybody saw it coming. So at this point, it wouldn't even be fair to call him that, I don't think. But I think that also what really stood out to me is a lot of people gave Oba Femi a hard time when he didn't want to do the open challenge. They gave him a hard time because he didn't just give Dragon Lee a shot. But I think he showed that he's a guy of honor. Dragon Lee, look, you got to win. You proved yourself. Okay, you get a shot now. I like this about Oba Femi. He's not just going to say, you don't get a shot, you got to do all this stuff. Oh, he was very much, you proved yourself. All right, I'll beat you up again. See you at Vengeance Day.
Yeah, I like the fact that Booker T mentioned Wesley being a workhorse champion and is now paying for it on the shelf. Mike Wexler says, unpopular opinion, Oba Femi is a future WWE champion. Now, this one's kind of loaded because I disagree. I think it's a popular opinion. I think Oba Femi will be a WWE champion. But Mike Wexler also said the same thing about Zion Quinn, so I don't know who to believe anymore.
Well, if you say everyone's going to be a future WWE champion, eventually you can get it right. But
Bet on red and black.
Yeah. You know, I think with, but I think Oba Femi is going to be a champion. I think a lot of people see it. Like I said, that's why I can't honestly call him a farmer's market pick because he's already leapfrogged expectations. And now it's like, oh, okay. You know,
right.
Like he's already there. So
Vengeance Day is a little bit more than a week away. Oba Femi walks out the North American champion, you think?
Absolutely. With a bull.
Why not even a Dragon Lee? Not even a Dragon Lee second train? No.
Nope.
Dominic Mysterio had two reigns. Okay.
Dominic Mysterio is one of the most dangerous men in pro wrestling. I like Dragon Lee. Just sometimes you run into a buzzsaw.
That's true. Let's talk about the Dusty Cup Classic. We had one of our semifinal matches here this week here. Baron Corbin and Braun Breaker, the Wolf Dogs, I suppose, against Axiom and Nathan Frazier. And even though this is the first matchup of the evening, it felt like a main event. It was on all cylinders. But at the end, it was the Wolf Dogs getting the dub, and it's the Wolf Dogs going to the finals of the Dusty Cup. You can tell I'm enthusiastic about the Wolf Dogs winning. What about you, Jack?
Why are you so upset about the Wolf Dogs?
Because it's the Wolf Dogs. I don't understand why they're together. I don't understand what they want. I don't understand why they want to be tag team champions. These guys, one guy's literally the lone wolf, and the other guy says he has the best spirit in the business, which was proven this week, to be fair. But he could do it on his own. Why are they together? We don't know.
It's so they can get tag team gold. That's why they're together. The whole thing is to win the Dusty Cup and then become the tag team champions. They've told us
they cannot coexist with their own intro music. Can't you see that?
How can you say they can't coexist? They're winning.
Bro, Aron comes out, the song switches up, and he's like, oh, this stupid guy.
Who doesn't do that anymore, though?
It happened this week. He came out because Baron Corbin came out with a little dog wolf thing. He was like, what are you doing?
That's what I'm saying, though. Every tag team comes out to separate music now. That's just what people do.
They're not a unit, but continue. They won.
I mean, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn won the WrestleMania main event.
But they understood what was happening. The looks on each guy's face when one guy opens up and the other one comes out is always like, yeah, these guys would not eat the same part of catering. These guys won't even go to the same gym. These guys don't even have the same grocery store preferences. Well, probably Baron Corbin's a Publix guy. But I'm just saying, why are they together? No idea.
All right. I'm going to tell you, this match, and this was an incredible match for me. I loved everything about what we got here. I'm going to say first, Baron Corbin, we've sung his praises a lot. I think he's someone who, when all is said and done, we're going to look at him a lot like we look at Mr. Perfect, where he maybe wasn't the top name in pro wrestling, but I think everyone's going to be like, yeah, he was great, though. He was one of the best. I think that Baron Corbin is, or Bron Breakker, I should say, what he's been doing to me has been the most...
To you?
Most... No, what he's been doing, in my opinion,
torture rack.
Recently, it has been probably of all the things he's done, has given me the most hope for his future over the past few months. Because he coming in, he's got a win streak. Cool. Lots of people have had win streaks. Doesn't mean they're going to be the future of wrestling. He comes in, he goes from being a nice guy that is the face of the brand to being a jerk who's beating everybody up. A lot of people have done that, hasn't gone that far. He is showing me personality. He's showing me timing. He's showing me comedic timing. He's showing me character. He's showing me so much right now that's so entertaining that now it makes me want to see him interact with more people as opposed to just being a guy that walks to the ring, spears someone, and then leaves. This has been the best Bron Breakker I think we've ever seen.
I agree with you. I think it's great. A tag team, personally, but it doesn't matter because they're going to the finals. Because Axiom, Nathan Frazier,
I speaking of Axiom and Nathan Frazier.
Okay.
paused for a second, so I didn't hear your final point there.
Probably me. Yeah.
Axiom and Frazier, I want to talk about them for a second too, because everyone in this match, I think my big takeaway and the reason I'm so excited is everybody in this match took the time that they had and showed why they are something special. I thought that Bron Breakker obviously showed why he's the powerhouse like person that he is, that has just the incredible acceleration to what he does. You could see how Baron Corbin is able to hang with fast wrestlers and put on great, incredible athletic matches, but also be the big veteran that he is. Nathan Frazier, man, no one goes as fast as that guy. No one, like when he's hitting the ropes and he's diving around, he does things either no one can do or no one is willing to do. He is so fast once he gets cooking. And Axiom, you and I have both praised Axiom for a long time. He is such a talented technical wrestler that can also fly. He is so good. They all had a moment in this match that I think showed us all that like, this is why they are special. This is why they get TV time. This is why they're presented as often as they are. This was a absolute class showing for all four guys involved. I can't nitpick anything here.
Well, even though in defeat, it was a classic matchup, the Wolf Dogs are heading on to the finals to take on the winner of Latino World Order and this team. Trick Mello Gang is still in the Dusty Cup tournament, but it seems to me that things are fraying at the seams. Before we get to the matchup, our main event here this week of Dragon, it looks like Carmelo and Trick and Ilya Dragunov are going back and forth. It feels like the biggest mystery in wrestling, not named how is the bloodline going to end, is who do we trust when it comes down to the intentions when it comes to that brand?
I'm going to say the same thing I've said since the beginning. You trust Carmelo Hayes. Carmelo Hayes, for months, has been attacked and like looked at with a side eye, and people have been so suspicious of this guy. Never once has he done anything that should make you doubt who he is. He's always been there for Trick. He's always given advice to Trick. He's always tried to help Trick, and there's nothing he's said that isn't true. As Carmelo's saying, don't fight Dragunov's battles for him. He's right. Don't fight Dragunov's battles for him. Don't do things that get yourself in trouble, like messing with Josh Briggs. Don't do this stuff. There's no reason to. Everything that Carmelo Hayes is saying is absolutely right. I don't know why people doubt him. I don't know why people are coming at him. He's never done anything before this or during this that should make anyone feel like he has any reason to be doubted. Sure. He's absolutely just trying to be a good friend the way Trick was a good friend to him before he started getting jealous and suspicious as he's trying to become a top guy.
Okay, so let's talk about what happened in the matchup this week. Josh Briggs taking JBL's advice to heart, which I kind of like. You know, I see Josh Briggs and JBL being a long-term thing, but it wasn't shown this week. Goes up to Ilya Dragunov, wants a match. Ilya goes, yeah, I'll give it to you, but you're not worthy of it yet. Trick gets involved. Main event, actual match, actually, besides the contract signing. Josh Briggs, Trick Williams. And it was going back and forth. Ilya Dragunov on commentary. And to say things went off the rails is an understatement. Carmelo Hayes promised to be backstage, but gets involved. Trick Williams gets to win, but everyone in that matchup is a little peeved at the end of it.
Yeah, I love Josh Briggs and what he's doing right now. I love that JBL was there to give him advice because, frankly, that's the comparison we're making. So why hide from it? And I think that JBL is someone Josh Briggs should take advice from, and I think it was smart that he went and told Dragunov, yeah, I want the title, because guess what? That's what they're all there for, is to be the champion. I bingo. Loved how he did this. Was that?
It's a bingo.
Bingo, yeah. That's what they're there for. Be the champion. So I love that he did this. I love that when Trick tried to get in his way, he said, fine, I'll beat you first. I like the approach. Now, he came short, obviously, but guess what? Now he's in the conversation. Now we're talking about him. I am a big fan of what Josh Briggs is doing. I also got to say, that was a trick question, Flobo. Is possibly one of the greatest like lines that Trick Williams has ever used. And if he's smart and he keeps using that, that could be the next, it doesn't matter what your name is.
Oh, as, interesting.
You know, I mean, I could totally see that being a, you think you can beat me? Well, that was a trick question, you know, hey, okay. You know, everyone blowing up or whatever.
Fair enough.
I think that that is such a good line. I love it. That was a trick question. I hope Trick continues to use it. Love that there.
Well, I was going to say to that point, Carmelo had to break his own promise from being backstage, but it worked out for the match. And even backstage, Carmelo says, Trick, you got to focus. And I would say there were some weeks I doubted Carmelo, but last week it did make sense. It did look like Ilya Dragunov has his veneer of being this upstanding champion, but it's kind of sliding around and holding on to that championship belt when need be. But that's just me.
It is funny how, obviously, Dragunov, fan of the guy, because every time he does something, he does it all the way, but he gets triggered very easy. Like, I feel like he goes
understatement. Yeah,
he goes, I feel like he goes to a restaurant and the waiter will be like, hey, so can I recommend the special? And he'd be like, do you really want to recommend the special? Like, yeah. Dude, like, it's okay. Like, yeah. Never mind. I'm sorry. Yeah.
What do you mean no substitutions?
Can you hold the elevator for me? Do you really want to get in the elevator with me? Like, geez, bro, okay. I'm just walking by. Like, give you some space. Jeez Louise.
Yeah, you can't have a character like that and say you're a family man, because then it's like, what the heck is going on? I'm going to work.
Everything he does is just about ready to like rip someone's head off. Like, you know what, man? He needs to hang out with Tyler Bate and do some meditating, maybe, and you know, get some namaste in his life. Cool his jets a little.
Zen Dragunov would be even more disappointing. I'm like, come on, get mad, do something.
Yeah, I know. He'd be like, okay, I'll take the title from you, fire breathing dragon, and he's just like, I understand you on that. Oh,
thank you for the opportunity. This brings us to this week's general manager pick. I mean, for those of you who don't know, this is where I get to ask Jack, as if he is the general manager, even though he's not named Ava, what he would do in a certain situation. Jack Farmer, the other news item this week, besides what we talked about, is that WWE 2K had the release trailer and their cover stars. You are the GM of NXT. There is an NXT edition. Pick one man and one woman to be on the cover.
I would say that the man and woman for the NXT WWE 2K Special Edition video game.
Just stalling all day, baby. On every platform available in March. What the hell, man?
You saw right through.
Take my time.
As I look back, I do think that without question, Carmelo Hayes will be the male on there. I think that I don't even think it's close. I think it's Carmelo Hayes. As far as the women's champion, it gets a little trickier because that's been such a competitive division. I think I would go with I think you have to go Tiffany Stratton. Okay. I think she, for the past year, was probably the most prominent female on the roster.
Well, to be fair, Cody Rose has only won one championship, but it was a tag team championship. So you don't have to be a champion to be in the cover.
But I think that Tiffany Stratton was the premier person in NXT as far as the women's division. If you think about, she's the one that had the rivalry with Becky Lynch. You know, she was the person, I think a lot of people were waiting to become champion for a long time as she ascended to that championship. Carmelo Hayes, I think he could have not had a championship. I feel like the overall star of NXT is Carmelo Hayes.
For my money, I would troll everybody and have it a Chase U edition, but that's just me.
that would be the that's the discounted version that they start selling around Thanksgiving.
the $5.99 version.
Yeah.
our last match on NXT this week was Blair Davenport versus Carmen Petrovic and Petrovic, excuse me. And even though she carries a sword, she reminds you of pandemic era Drew McIntyre. Just can't buy herself a win. Blair Davenport has all the momentum, though. Rolling into Vengeance Day, just real quick, do you think she is going to be the next women's champion? Will Lyra retain?
I think Lyra is going to retain. I think Blair Davenport hasn't won a title shot yet, right? She's not.
She is the Iron Survivor Challenge winner. She has that in the bank.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I thought you were talking about Roxanne Perez versus Lyra.
Yeah.
You know, I think Blair Davenport can get the win. I think she can become the champion. Lyra Valkyrie is tough. I think she's going to be very tough to beat. But I think that no one has been more focused than Blair Davenport. And I think that's why she's the Iron Survivor champion or winner. And I look, she's taking people out in the parking lot, and I know we'll probably laugh at that, but like, who else is that big of a killer in NXT right now? And the fact that Nikita Lyons continually tries to get back at her, but continually seems to get stopped in her tracks. I think that Blair Davenport is focused. I think Lyra Valkyrie is going to end up being a bit distracted, and that'll be the difference.
All right, let's, before we wrap this up, let's get some burning questions. Other things I've realized while watching NXT this week, walk me through all this, man. Ariana Grace was backstage working on speeches when Electra Lopez hit her up. Santino Marella, or the artist formerly known as, he's currently Santino Marella, said that Ariana Grace has a spot on the main roster if given to you. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I think she does. I don't think you need to rush her over.
Sure.
But I think that as far as a character goes, she's a finished product. I think she's going to fit right in anywhere she goes, and she's always going to be on TV. As far as championship goes, it's a stacked roster on both of them, but she's someone who will be on TV every week. She's entertaining. People are going to feel one way or the other about her. Absolutely.
To defend Santino, that was kind of a sentiment too. Like, she has a character stuff ready. She could fit in, but if I was up to me, I'll have her stay at NXT as well. Von Wagner is training to be the next Heritage Cup champion, and it looks like Robert Stone brought the kids out to Central Florida. Von Wagner, does he have a chance? I mean, that training montage is pretty intense.
No one has a chance against Noam Dar. Noam Dar is the greatest Heritage champion of all time. I've said before, man, I feel like Von Wagner, I got to start seeing you get some wins, man. I got to start seeing you wrestle. Like, these are great video packages. I think they do a great job, but he wrestles less than Roman Reigns does. It feels like he had a
head injury though. He got like his like you remember
how long ago was that? I feel like,
wow, Jack, get over your head injury.
It feels like he took a bunch of time off, had the head injury, has taken more time off, then had a match recently, not recently, but like a few weeks ago with someone else. And then I got to see you wrestle. I got to see you wrestle, Von Wagner. That's all I'm asking. Get in the ring. I want to see you wrestle. Right now, Noam Dar, I mean, he's fresh off of Supernova sessions. He's locked down that championship. He's ready to go. Von Wagner's going to have some ring rust.
Chase U seems to be finally shut down this week, but JC Jane is still working on it. Are we thinking we're going to have a brand new owner of Chase University or something else afoot?
Well, as a graduate of the Art Institute of California, the only people I feel bad for are the people who have student loans that should be refunded to them if Chase U can't stay afloat. Are they out of business? I don't know. But I hope that Chase is an honorable enough person to make sure none of his students have debt they have to deal with going forward.
Really? You're thinking about the financial implications? Okay. All right.
Should have gone to University of Phoenix.
Oh, that's legit. That's all operating. Adrian Ofe.
Tied to WWE. Weren't they like a partner or something?
Probably. I know they had a couple of those commercials, but who knows? Or then TCU was in there for a bit. Okay. Adrian Ofe and Malik Blade are mad.
Next on the for-profit college podcast.
Right. You know, Capella University doesn't get nearly as much credit as deserved. Shout out to the Defiant. Okay.
ICT Tech.
He was what? You can't be gangs at a for-profit. Whatever. Aegis and Ofe and Malik Blade are mad they lost. Brinley Reese says she's here to help. Stay burn active. What gives, bro?
You know, this was, they ran into each other last week and I didn't get it. I felt like this is a weird pairing. I wanted to see more from Brinley Reese. Seeing it this week, this is my prediction. This is a group that people aren't going to latch onto right away. It may take some time. But once this group gets rolling, they are going to be one of the most popular groups in NXT. I think it's going to go, speaking of Chase U, a very Chase U trajectory, where when Chase U started, a lot of people are like, this is corny. I'm not into it. I don't get it. But then slowly they found their groove and it became one of the more popular things on NXT. I think that's what's going to happen with Idris, Malik, and Brinley. I think that this is a pairing where I think all parties are going to know how to work together. I think they're going to find a chemistry. And I think this is going to be a group to keep an eye on. This is a farmer's market group right here. I think that this is going to be a very successful pairing.
Paging Dr. Umar. Rich Holland is still looking pretty sad and like a bump because he needs friends. But instead of getting friends, he goes, I'm going to go alone against Gallus. Has he lost his mind?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I'm a little confused about Rich Holland because he comes out and he says, hey, I'm a family man. And to prove that, I'm going to fight three guys. Like, I don't understand the correlation between the two. And I always say that, and this kind of goes for Von Wagner as well. You got my interest with talking about being a family man, humanizing yourself. But I always say it's like a video game where you have a little like life bar. And every week that life bar goes down until I start seeing this translate to wins in matches. And now it's been a few weeks, and that life bar and that, hey, wait a minute. We talked about.
Wait a minute. Stop. Because you're like, oh man, Joe Gacy, he's crazy forever. It's so cool. And now you're like, life bar, gotta wrestle. Breaker, breaker, breaker. Which one is it?
Jack? Joe Gacy just wrecked Dijak.
So there was a match.
Because he beat the tar out of him so bad that they couldn't even get it started.
There was no wrestling in your wrestling rubric.
That was great, but you can't just hang around with a coffee in the locker room area or the hallways saying I'm a family man and then wait a month before I get to see you in action. I feel like I'm not done with him. I'm not saying Rich Holland is done. I'm not saying this is all, you know, I'm not throwing the baby out with the bathwater or however that phrase goes. Still got time. But if he doesn't show me a win next week, I'm going to start to get a little frustrated about having been buying into this guy and who he is as a family man and a real person to only see him hang out backstage.
Any general manager that saw someone dump someone on their head will give him a leave. You got to give him a break for that in story, right?
It's been a break. That was like, we got to move. Like, if you're giving him a break, give him a break. Don't
you hate head injuries? Package. Just say it. You hate
don't
head
give
injuries.
Me a video package and tell me about all this guy just to say he's not going to be around. If a football player is suspended or given leave, you're not showing video packages about how great they are the whole time they're away. You wait until they're about to compete.
Final question. We saw the No Quarter Catch crew tell me that they're all about being serious, but in NXT, we've seen that with Imperium, Diamond Mine, and Thatch Can. Can No Quarter Catch crew find a way to break through?
Well, I think you need to evaluate the groups you just mentioned. Right, Imperium did pretty well for themselves. Diamond Mine did pretty well for themselves. Thatch's Thatch Can struggled.
Okay. So making sure you're not being biased.
I'm not being biased. I mean, it struggled. No Quarter Cash Crew is a group that I want to love. Look, so anyone who knows me knows I love the wrestlers. Lance Storm, my all-time favorite. I love this kind of stuff. I do know, though, that you need to bring a little... You need to put a little salt and pepper on this bad boy if it's going to work, though. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm a little concerned that a group that prides itself on being the best wrestlers and the most talented technicians who can go toe-to-toe with anybody build themselves off of the we're giving ourselves an advantage by not telling you which one of us you're fighting until the match starts. It feels a little counter to who they're supposed to be. Right? Like Imperium, they say they respect the ring. They would never say, by the way, we have a rule where we get to pick these weird, there's this weird thing that lets us decide things at the last second. You know what I mean? It feels a little bit like, if you're so good, why don't you say this is my game plan? Like the best teams, and I always like to compare it to other sports, if you're the boxer who's known for knocking everybody out, you don't say, let's see what kind of strategy I employ. You're going to say, look, I'm going to come in and I'm going to knock you out. Floyd Mayweather doesn't try to pretend he's going to do something different. He's like, look, this is who I am. Try to beat me.
Right.
If you're the number one offense in the NFL, you say, yeah, I'm going to score 1,000,000 points. Try to stop me. So to say, yeah, we're the best wrestlers in the world, but we're going to keep some secrets. You know, like it feels a little incongruent.
Well, I don't want you to keep any more secrets. It's now time for my favorite segment of the show. It's the MVP of NXT. It's the one that stuck out for you this week, Jack Palmer. Who it be?
Electra Lopez. Electra Lopez and that promo, to me, really took her from being someone who was a side character, to be frank, in my opinion, on the show. Someone who was a side character in the Legado del Fantasma story, a side character in the Lola Vice story, and has made herself a main character with that promo. Electra Lopez is my MVP of NXT.
And definitely pulling like 15 pounds of lean muscle. Like you could probably like punch a hole through your chest if given the opportunity.
Yeah. She's definitely been hitting the gym. And I think that, yeah, she looks like she's definitely ready to compete, not just get on the microphone.
Yeah, I need to hit the gym myself. That winter weight is real. My MVP is Josh Briggs. I do feel like he's coming into his own. And that exchange with Ilya Dragunov felt like future champ against champ, which is something really cool if you're a new talent. Man, I love hanging out with you every week. I know you're a busy man, though, Jack Farmer, but I want to connect with you, even book you for events because you're so dang busy. How I go about doing that?
Yeah, you can check me out at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. I am doing a lot of work for Static Media this week and next. I'm going to be covering AEW Dynamite tonight, right after Dynamite on Wrestling Inc., as well as the After SmackDown show.
What?
For Wrestling Inc. I'll be there this time around. And of course, I'm always there for the After Raw.
Wait, what the hell? So, am I going to be around Friday?
I'm telling you, man.
Have I replaced?
The Static Media overlords in a Static Media tower that lightning crackles behind every time you look at it. They're working me, Flobo.
I believe it, man. Shout out to Wrestling Inc., man. This is Raped in Gold. It's available wherever you get your podcast. Please drop a 5-star on Spotify. Definitely write a review on Apple Podcasts. That keeps us relevant for searches. And if you're watching here on that X app, hit that repost button. It means the world to get the word out because it's something kind of fun about doing the show, but it's a lot of work to get this hype at 10 o'clock in the morning. I really mean that. We'll be back here next week. drapedingold.com. If you haven't, check out the website. There really is. It's redirects for Spotify, to be honest with you. But until next time, Jack Farm, please say the words.
Do your best and be yourself.